Ryan, everybody needs insurance, whether they have a home, a boat, a car, a motorcycle, a UTV. Everyone needs insurance. And you know what? Now is the time to maybe look at saving on your insurance going into the next year.
And many of you Gopher fans have taken us up on this opportunity here in the month of November and reached out to the Burns Insurance Agency located in Oakdale, Minnesota. And my father has been able to save plenty of you, hundreds if not thousands of dollars on your home, auto, commercial, whatever it may be. So what I want you to do today, think about it, talk about it with your partner, look at your insurance rates and think, am I paying too much money? I could use some extra cash here over the holidays. If you think so, check him out at insurancebyburns.com or email him today, bill@insurancebyburns.com.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to Axe Week, Thanksgiving Week. We understand that you're probably listening to these dulcet tones of ours while you are traveling to or from on Thanksgiving. We apologize to your significant others. We've apologized to your children. But we hope you make it to Grandma's house, crazy aunt and uncle's house, safe and swiftly. I know I will be going to see Grandma. Luke, where are you heading to?
I'm headed out to the in-laws' place right after we record here, and I hit upload and I send you posted. We will be making our way out. So yeah, excited to get out, spend some time with family. Probably going to watch the game again with my dad. We did that last year. That's when my son affectionately coined Lamecki Brockington Lamecki Rocket Ship. Hopefully we have another memorable moment like that once again this season.
Yeah, we'll see if there's an unsung hero just like Lamecki was last season as the Gophers, as we have mentioned. It is Axe Week. Take on the 6-5 Wisconsin Badgers, a team that has seen a lot of struggles in the last month, just like your Golden Gopher team has. So it's going to be an interesting final ride on Senior Day for Luke. It's going to be a little emotional for me because it's the last game of Brevin Spanford at Huntington Bank Stadium. I have been a stan of his for so long, and obviously this season hasn't gone the way that I thought, he thought, many have thought. But how sweet would it be for him that in his final game at Huntington Bank, maybe he's able to be the linchpin that gets this thing to Minnesota winning the Axe for the first time in three consecutive years since the mid-1980s, Luke Buter. I wasn't even alive.
Yeah, I depending on when that mid-1980s, I probably wasn't either, being born in 87. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, you often hear that rivalries, it doesn't matter what the records are. It doesn't matter how the season's been going, but rivalries will always bring out the best in two teams. And this will be the 133rd meeting between Wisconsin and Minnesota. I believe this is the longest running rivalry in college football. And this is one of the things that makes college sports special, right? Is the rivalries that are built over literally decades. And in this instance, at least more than a century.
62-62-8. This is tied, and these two teams are a part of obviously the longest running rivalry, and then we're 130 years in, Luke, and they are tied in terms of who has the bragging rights, so it'll be an interesting game this weekend. I would also say that we're having a Black Friday sale at Gopher Illustrated, 75% off a GI membership, Luke. So here's what I would plead. If you listen to this every single week, and you're still here after a very tumultuous month, or you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, boy, my significant other listens to this podcast all the time. Well, as much as they enjoy my tones, for whatever reason, they're going to enjoy the next month of Transfer Portal Signing Day, and it's 75% off. Like I said, go to my Twitter, Ryan Burns MN, check out Gopher Illustrated. You'll see it there. 75% off. It's like $30 for the entire year. It is a great gift for the Gopher fan in your life, and it obviously goes a long way to supporting me. So have to get in that plug here before we get into the preview.
Yeah, and so not only is it an important rivalry, Ryan, this is a game for the Gophers that would obviously clinch them a guaranteed bowl in terms of bowl eligibility, getting them to 6 wins. You know, before we started this season, we said anywhere from 5-7 to 9-3 were possible. And I think everyone can agree that there was a path to all of them. And really the only two outcomes that are left are 5-7 and 6-6. So yeah, I mean, this is a big moment too, in that the Gophers can also have a chance to hold on to both the pig and the axe in the same season. And I don't know how long.
It would be, I believe, since 90 or 91, which, because I love to make everyone feel old, I was born in August of 92, wasn't alive then. So I'm sure it would be a very bittersweet season for many Gopher fans, where you're 6-6, you don't win the West, you have the Northwestern and Illinois debacles, yet you're still able to come away with the axe and the pig for the first time in over 30 years. You also mentioned bowls. Well, I would tell you, as we sit here with 1 week left in the college football season, there are 67 bowl-eligible teams to fill 82 spots. Okay, so you're with me? There's 24 teams that could achieve bowl eligibility this weekend. Okay? 12 of them are underdogs. So what I'm trying to say is this. If Minnesota loses this weekend, and if there are still bowls available, which there certainly could be if the chalk holds, Minnesota would go to a bowl game at 5-7 because they're the number one team in academic progress report, because that's the way it has worked out, and that's part of Flex program, is they're really good in the APR. And I want to address this now, Luke. If I hear one more person say Minnesota doesn't deserve to go to a bowl game, I'm going to tell you this. It is something we talk about often in the Gopher media. Do people understand that it's not about if a team deserves it or not? It's about filling programming between December 15th
and December 31st. Exactly.
Because my favorite factoid for many listeners who don't believe that and tell me, well, I won't watch. Okay. Well, last year, the Belk Bowl, B-E-L-K, the Belk Bowl outdrew Duke, North Carolina basketball on the same day.
Yes.
People watch college football constantly. And so even if you don't think Minnesota deserves to make a bowl game, they're probably going to be in a bowl game regardless of result this weekend, unless something crazy happens and more upsets happen. Or if they just win this weekend, then it gets even messier, because then you'll have a smorgasbord, which I wanted to make sure I brought up that word ahead of Thanksgiving, because that's what usually what my plate looks like. Yeah. On Thanksgiving, Luke, is a smorgasbord of different things. But it gets even more complicated. We'll be talking about it on Gopher Illustrated. But I don't have time for people who are like, this team doesn't deserve it. It's not about deserving it, more or less. It's about filling programming, where I think if Minnesota goes to a 5-7 bowl game, they could potentially be in Frisco, Texas on December 19th. And it's like, it is what it is. And I believe Fleck confirmed, from what I understand this week, because I was there, that if Minnesota loses this weekend and a bowl opportunity becomes available for them, they would go to it to get to 15 additional practices for this young team.
Yeah.
So
obviously
be prepared for more football potentially, Luke. I would tell you, even if they lose this weekend, there's probably a 75-80% chance that they're going to be heading to some obscure bowl game.
Yeah. And you know what? All the power to them. You definitely are going to take that opportunity. If it presents itself, you should absolutely take it, and you shouldn't feel any remorse for it. But you know, the Gophers have had an opportunity here the last, like, what, 3 games to gain bowl eligibility, and they've not been able to do it. Hopefully they can get that monkey off their back here and maintain the axe for a third straight season. So maybe, Ryan, what we should do here is we should talk a little bit about injuries. No one is absent of injuries at this point in the season. Every team is dealing with them. Obviously, we've been tracking all season, Cody Lindenberg, Darius Taylor, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Give us some guys, both for the Gophers and maybe for Wisconsin, that we should keep an eye on.
Yeah, there's 3 major injuries in this game that are having me have a hard time being able to pick this game on Wednesday because we're not going to know truthfully until an hour before the game if these three guys are going to play. There's two for Minnesota and there is one for the Wisconsin Badgers. The number one guy on the offense for Minnesota that we're still waiting to await word on is Darius Taylor, who has missed the last month with that injury. If he's back, even in a limited capacity, and he can get 10 to 12 carries, I think that changes the game quite a bit because Minnesota would have a running back that can consistently break tackles back there, and I think that's important, even if it is on a limited snap count. Defensively, we'll see if Cody Lindenberg's back. I will say he warmed up before the game last week. We've also all been through this song and dance the entire season. He's missed 9 of the 11 games. But I think he knows, and I think Darius knows, if you don't have anything to get ready for after this week, that's guaranteed. So even if you can go in a limited capacity, I think you're going to see maybe the training staff be a little bit more aggressive with that potentially. I would, if you're asking me to handicap it, I would say that I expect at least one of those two to play for Minnesota, and if and when they do, I think that changes things, certainly on the defensive side of the ball, if Cody Lindenberg can come back. And then for the Wisconsin Badgers, I could argue their best player is by a kid by the name of Hunter Wohler. Safety leads them in tackles. His status for this game is certainly in question. He left last week's game against Nebraska in the second quarter with an upper body injury, was immediately ruled out, did not return. And so if Wisconsin's going to be without their Tyler Newbin, who, again, leads the team in tackles, has been very dynamic for them, huge part of the pass game, the run game, that also changes things for me. Now, if you told me none of them play versus all of them play, I mean, I think there's not really a scenario where I think, all three of them play. But those are the injuries I'm watching. Can Minnesota get their best tailback back? Can they get their second best player on defense back? And is Wisconsin going to be without their star safety? Three very key injuries we'll be watching ahead of the game Saturday afternoon.
All right, so let's talk about when Minnesota is on offense. On the season, the Gophers are averaging 20.7 points per game. They are averaging 152 yards per carry, and they are averaging
152 yards per carry.
We're really getting to the end of the season, right? I'm having a hard time keeping words straight. 152 yards per game. And then passing, they're averaging 151 yards per game. Conversely, if you look at Wisconsin on the season, defensively, they are giving up 19.4 points per game. They are averaging about 140 yards rushing a game, and they are also averaging about 195 yards passing a game against them as a defense. So, Ryan, you cited, you know, the safety that might be a possible miss for this game due to injury. But what are the Gophers going to have to do to find success against this Wisconsin defense?
Yeah, they're going to be facing a Wisconsin defense that plays three down, four down. What does that mean? Three down, 3-4 type, four down, 4-3 type. They also go to a nickel. They like to change the picture a lot. So pre-snap, they may show in one thing. Post-snap, they do something else. Obviously, we've seen that present some difficulties for Ethan Calais-McManus at times. But if you were to look at just the stats alone, and this is why stats can kind of paint whatever picture you want it to. If you just look at the stats from conference play for Wisconsin's defense, they're 13th out of 14 teams in the Big Ten in rushing yards allowed per game. So you're thinking to yourself, well, Minnesota should be able to run, right? Well, I'm not going to tell you they should be able to, because this has been a different Wisconsin defense in the last 3 weeks. They've only allowed 298 running back rushing yards. That's under 100 yards per game to opposing tailbacks, and that's only at a 3.7 yards per carry clip, which is better than league average. So it's been a Wisconsin defense that has had some growing pains. They've given up some explosive plays, specifically through the air, which is something we'll talk on in my keys to the game. But this certainly feels like to me, Luke, that it's going to be a game, if Minnesota does come away with the axe for the third consecutive year, Ethan's going to have to be on. And that's where it's interesting to kind of look at Ethan's splits now throughout the entire season. He has been much better at home in terms of completion percentage. He's completing 57.6% of his passes at home compared to 47% on the road. And here in the month of November, he's also got 6 touchdowns to 1 interception. So, I mean, this has got to be a day where Ethan plays like he did last year. where he's making big time throws and extending plays with his legs and being decisive when he does make a decision. Because if he does hold the ball a little bit too long, we've obviously seen what happens when that happens.
Okay, yeah, taking a quick look at some of the advanced stats, you know, for the Gophers, obviously they probably run the ball more than they should, as we've talked about a lot, and it's usually where they find their most success. You know, Wisconsin's defense really is pretty decent against the run and against the pass. When you look at both EPA per play and EPA per game, they're top 40 in the country for both. But to your point, Ryan, I don't have a breakdown of that relative to conference play, and that might actually be quite a bit different. So that's an interesting factoid you brought out. So it'll be interesting to see what the Gophers can do on offense. Most importantly, you know, they're going to have to, again, take care of the ball, Ryan, as always, and find a way to manufacture some explosive plays, because as you and I both know, that is really the key to success in college football in today's game.
Well, it's been the key to success of why has Minnesota won the Axe the last 2 years. The number one thing I would point to is they had 6 explosive plays through the air in 2021, and I believe 5 in 2022. So if you're going to continue to keep the Axe, you're going to have to continue to generate explosive plays, because that's where Wisconsin has been most susceptible.
Ryan, once again, Thanksgiving is one of the biggest travel weekends of the year, and I wouldn't be going anywhere without my Comply Foam earbud tips, mostly for the comfort, but also to keep the noise of my kids' tablets out of my own ears.
So whether you're in the car, whether you're at the airport right now, think about those silicone ear tips you got on your AirPod Pros, your Beat Pros, whatever they may be, and think to yourself, well, I got the ear pain, yeah, the fatigue, yeah, I'm constantly adjusting them. Get rid of them. Go to complyfoam.com. They're having a buy one, get one half off sale for Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Find your ear tips. They're memory foam. They'll eliminate the ear pain. They will get a great seal inside your ear so you're not constantly adjusting. And then when you get to checkout, use promo code GG23 to save 15% off your first order. Again, Black Friday sale at Comply Foam. Buy one, get one half off.
Yeah, the buy one, get one on Friday. And then even on Sunday and Cyber Monday, 25% off orders. Again, for your first order, promo code GG23. Get those stocking stuffers ready, folks. All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. Ryan, the Gophers on the season are giving up 26.8 points per game. They are giving up 144 yards on the ground, and they are giving up, 225 through the air. Wisconsin, conversely, is averaging 22.4 points per game. They're averaging 153 yards on the ground, and they are averaging 212 yards through the air. So obviously, Ryan, we are all pretty familiar with Wisconsin, and they had a very distinct offensive identity under Paul Christ, also under Barry Alvarez, and then Bielema as well, pretty consistent through that entire tenure. Now with Luke Fickell, the identity of this Wisconsin offense has changed significantly.
Welcome to the Phil Longo adaption of an air raid. Now, you think of air raid, you think of Mike Leach, you think of a lot of different things. I mean, this is a team that will throw the ball, but they have also adapted to having Braylon Allen on the ground. Now, the craziest factoid I think I've dug up this week is Braylon Allen has been one of the best running backs in the Big Ten for the last 3 years. He's got 33 rushing touchdowns, over 3,000 running yards. Luke, do you know how many career yards Braylon Allen has against Minnesota in his time as a Wisconsin Badger running back?
It's interesting because I was looking at this. He didn't play last year in the 2022 game, if memory Correct. Serves. And then I think he only had like 40-some yards in the 2021 game. And I actually took some notes for this. For the facts and figures, which we'll get to later. And I wonder if we can kind of use that previous history about the weather to indicate how he might play tomorrow.
I'd have to look at Braylon Allen's stats in November, but I would say this. Braylon Allen has 47 career running yards or rushing yards against Minnesota. to Luke's point, he didn't play last year because he was banged up. In 2021, Minnesota went low, and he just never found really any success after taking some big hits early in the game. Now, Braylon Allen has missed time already this season with injury. He came back last week, and I think Luke Fickell talked about after the game how he pushed through injury. So just like it has been for most of his career, he gets to this final game of the season and he's banged up. But I do think it is interesting that he only has 47 career rushing yards when he's run for over 3,000 in his Gopher career.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, his Badger career. Boy, there's going to be some angry Wisconsin fans for that one. But, I mean, they've also got Tanner Mordecai back, who is their SMU transfer. He's been fine. I mean, the thing to me with Mordecai isn't necessarily his arm. He's accurate. There's no doubt about that. But he is really good at the second play. What is the second play? Well, it's when the first play breaks down or the pocket breaks down, he can extend plays and keep his eyes down the field because he's a veteran quarterback. Or the sneaky part about Mordecai is his legs. He's run for 18 first downs in 8 games. He's got 50-plus rushing yards in 3 of his last 5 games. So it's going to be key for Minnesota in this game. The number one thing I would tell you, Luke, that is going to dictate success is can Minnesota's defensive line show up the way that they did the latter part of October, the early part of November. Mm-hmm. Because if they can get pressure on Mordecai, if they can shut down the running game, that's going to go a long way to get them to force turnovers again, put them in tough spots, that Wisconsin offense. But if they're not able to get pressure, if they're not able to hold their gaps and Braylon Allen's able to get a full head of steam in 30 degrees, then it's going to go probably the wrong way for Minnesota. So that's where I look to. We've seen Minnesota's defensive line be capable of that. We've seen them play up to that in the last month. It's just we need to see that on senior day for the Axe. To see Minnesota's defensive line show up.
Yeah, I think you're right. The lack of pressure has contributed to the fact that they haven't been able to turn anybody over since that Illinois game. This is something that they've been pretty opportunistic at. And then additionally, you know, you just have to find a way to stop the run and try to make this team one-dimensional. They want to throw anyway. I think that their scheme, they don't necessarily have the pieces, Ryan, from a receiver perspective to maybe be the team that they want to be long-term. But they do have a very good running back. Traditionally, they have a good offensive line. I'm not sure they're as good as they have been in years past. But ultimately, you want to be able to force turnovers and give this Gopher offense an opportunity in plus territory to do some damage.
Yeah, I'd say they've been okay on the offensive line. I think they've been better of late. The way I look at it, via Pro Football Focus anyway. But it's a place where, why has Minnesota won the last couple of years? Because they've done a really good job in the trenches.
Yeah.
Death taxes in late November football in the Big Ten. Which team shows up in the trenches probably has the best chance to win. And that's where if Minnesota is going to get back to not allowing explosive plays, it starts with shutting down the run game, not allowing these offensive linemen to climb to the second level on your inexperienced linebackers, and it's getting pressure around a quarterback and making sure he can't escape the pocket when he does. So it's going to be huge for Minnesota on Saturday.
Ryan, Black Friday is a big deal, and it's also a big deal at home field. I think we have to put one disclaimer out first. Home field does not have an infinite number of items, so if you are looking to get something on their Black Friday sale, you better get there quickly because they will sell out.
100%. And we're talking about unique Gopher apparel that you won't see anywhere else. You won't see it at Goldie's Locker Room. You won't find it online anywhere else. If you have a Gopher fan in your life and you think to yourself, boy, I'd love to get them a cool sweatshirt that I also can wear because the material is outstanding, go to homefieldapparel.com. When you get the checkout, don't use our promo code. Use the one that gives you a better discount. That's promo code Black Friday for 20% off on Black Friday. So many unique things, sweatshirts, sweatpants, that bomber jacket. You'll find something you like there. Homefieldapparel.com and use the promo code Black Friday.
Okay, let's get to the facts and figures for this game, Ryan. This is going to be a 2:30 kick on FS1. It's going to feature the 6-5 Wisconsin Badgers, 4-4 in conference, against your 5-6 University of Minnesota Golden Gophers, 3-5 in conference. Both are very similar, obviously. So then the line, as you can imagine, is going to be very close. It opened, Ryan, at -2.5. We will be covering this because it currently sits as Wisconsin being a 2-point favorite. The over-under is 42.5 as it opened, and we will be betting it today as at 41.5. So it's been bet down a point since it opened. And then when it comes to the weather, Ryan, I don't know. This game always seems to be a cold one. It doesn't look like it's going to be any warmer. The high is going to be right around 35, 36 degrees. I looked at the wrong day. It's going to be around 34 to 35 degrees on Saturday. It doesn't look like wind is going to be a huge factor, about 9 miles an hour. Ultimately, it looks like it should be pretty cloudy that day as well. By the end of the game, it'll drop below freezing. So obviously be prepared. I'll leave some tips, obviously the hand warmers. If you have that like styrofoam board insulation, pick some of that up, sit on it on your bleacher or put it under your feet. I can confirm that they will let that into Huntington Bank Stadium. You might get some weird looks and some questions, but I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference, folks.
I mean, get some toe warmers, go to Fleet Farm on Black Friday, wherever it may be. Make sure you have that too. The wind doesn't look like too much of an issue. I remember the Iowa game last year, just like many of you fans do. It was cold, cold, and that wind was whipping from what I remember. It's not going to be that cold. It's going to be in the 30s. It's going to be like an 8-mile-an-hour wind as of today. So you'll have a little breeze, but not a crazy breeze to drive the wind chill down, but just be prepared.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe Ryan, before we even get into this, this is the first year that we've kept stats on our picks this year. To open the season, you picked this game to be a Wisconsin win, 21-20. I picked it to be a Minnesota win, 28-27. Relative to the Lions, Ryan, you're right about on the money there. I was obviously over on my point total. But then on the season, Ryan, in terms of picking games straight up, you're 8-3. I'm also 8-3. This might surprise you, but we are both 5-6 against the over under, and we are both 5-5-1. And we didn't always agree, which is kind of crazy how it's come together. But yeah, I just wanted to get that in there real quick. Once again, it's just a fun rivalry, and it's finally the Gophers have been competitive the last few years, and that's obviously made it fun. And if they can get a chance to win here for the third time in the row, that'll just be icing on the cake, especially this season, where they've already won the pig. So, all right, Ryan, help us. What are our keys to the game to find a way to victory?
For Minnesota's offense, they're going to have to lean on that passing game, as they're the ones that are going to have to do the heavy lifting. Because if we're only going to look at season-long stats for this Badger defense, they would signal that Minnesota should be able to run the ball on Saturday. Because those stats indicate that in conference play, the Badgers are 13th in rushing yards allowed at 157. They've allowed 4.1 yards per carry in those same contests, which puts them third worst in the Big Ten. But that's why stats can be deceiving, and that's why I like to look at the most recent 3 weeks. And if you look at those, they've been much stingier to opposing running backs. They've only allowed 298 running back rushing yards. It's under 100 yards per game, and they're allowing those tailbacks to only run for 3.7 yards per carry, which is a little better than league average. So I also think back to the last two games when Muhammad Ibrahim, Bucky Irving, and Kai Thomas in the last 2 years combined for 60 carries and only 177 rushing yards. That is under 3 yards per carry average. And peace and love to Jordan Newbin and his great moment against Michigan State. He's just a different caliber of back than those three are. So with Zach Evans' status up in the air, with Darius Taylor's status up in the air, you can see why I'm going to lean on this Gopher passing game a little bit more. And I know that I've conveyed to the masses here all season, or at least I tried to, that the ride would be bumpy with Ethan. And maybe the highs have been higher than I thought and the lows have been lower than I thought. But with one game left, he's completing 52.6% of his passes for 151 yards per game, 13 passing touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. He's also got some pretty drastic splits that you can put a little bit of stock into now, considering 90%+ of the regular season is done. And when you look at those, well, he's been a much more accurate quarterback at home, which is where this game's being played. He's completing 57% of his passes at home compared to 47% on the road. And here in the month of November, he's only completing 48% of his passes, but he's got 6 passing touchdowns to 1 interception with a quarterback rating, according to ESPN, of 125.1. But they're going to need him to do what the other Big Ten quarterbacks here in the month of November have done to this Badger defense, and that's sustain drives. In the last 3 weeks, Wisconsin's defense has allowed Northwestern, Indiana, and Nebraska quarterbacks to complete 64% of their passes with 4 passing touchdowns and just 1 interception. In that same span, Luke, they've allowed multiple explosive passing plays through the air in each one of those 3 contests. Why is that important? Because that has been the primary reason why Minnesota has generated points against the Badgers the last 2 years on this 2-game winning streak. Last season, Minnesota had 6 plays of 20 or more yards in Camp Randall. And in 2021, when they finally got it done there at home, they had 5. So what does that mean? It means Daniel Jackson, Brevin Spanford on senior day, Elijah Spencer, Chris Ottman-Bell in his last game in Huntington Bank Stadium. Same thing with Corey Crooms. They're going to have to show up in a big way, along with their quarterback being able to give them a chance. Now, defensively, stop giving up the cataclysmically horrible explosive plays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked about it quite a bit this season. I'll rehash it one last time. What's the primary reason why Minnesota's lost 3 Big Ten West games in which they've scored 24, 26, and 30 points? Because they've allowed 17 different plays of 20 or more yards total in those 3. Well, here's the interesting stat on the other side of that, Luke. When you look at Minnesota-Wisconsin the last 2 years, the Gopher defense has only allowed 3 plays of 20 or more yards in the last 2 games. Can you sense the theme here that I'm going for?
Yeah.
So Tanner Mordecai missed about a month with an injury. Their star quarterback, the SMU transfer, he's completing 67% of his passes since he's come back from injury. And it's been for, I would say, a relatively empty 415 passing yards. He's only got 1 passing touchdown since coming back. But like I mentioned, the thing that you need to watch for in this game isn't necessarily Mordecai's arm, it's his legs. He's great at breaking the pocket and keeping his eyes down the field. He's great at running for first downs. He's got 18 first downs with his legs in just 8 games played. And oh, by the way, in his last 5 games, he's got 3 of them with 50 or more running yards. So Minnesota's defensive line can't get too far upfield. They can't allow this Badger quarterback to escape. They have to stay on their rush lanes if they're going to keep Wisconsin's offense off schedule. We've spent a lot of time on Braylon Allen already. 33 rushing touchdowns in his career, over 3,000 rushing yards. But I will mention it again, he's only got 47. Now, I understand he's been banged up. I understand it hasn't just gone his way, but I expect Phil Longo in this Badger offense to lean on him quite a bit, especially with the issues Minnesota's been having in their running game, I should say. Now, a lot of this gets back to, can they get Cody Lindenberg back?
Yeah.
If Cody Lindenberg returns, I feel a lot better. But if he's not, it's going to be a lot tougher to stop Braylon Allen. But it starts up front. If Minnesota's defensive line brings the physicality and they bring the explosiveness like we've seen them do in the past, I feel pretty good about Minnesota's chances on senior day. If they don't and they kind of play the way that they've been playing the last few weeks, it's going to be pretty tough for Minnesota to hang on to the axe. And then finally, maybe the most interesting factoid in this, Luke, they got to win the turnover margin. Why do I say that? Well, Minnesota's defense has been hot or cold since the bye. In the 3 games after the bye week, they forced 8 turnovers, this Gopher defense did. In their last 2 games, they have yet to force 1. So if that continues, it's going to be hard to win a game if you don't force a turnover. Now, on the flip side, Luke, Wisconsin's defense has been horrible as well at forcing turnovers in their last 3 games. They have only forced 1. So neither defense has really done much in terms of generating explosive plays, generating turnovers. Something has to give Saturday afternoon for whatever team is going to come away with Paul Bunyan's axe.
All right, so I can go first. I got a couple quick questions for you, Ryan. Of the running backs in this game, do you know who has the most fumbles on the season? On both teams. Braylon Allen with 4. He exceeds Sean Tyler, who only has three. I thought I could maybe trick you there, but obviously you've read too much into this. And then I just wanted to highlight again, you know, the last time Braylon Allen played in this series, you mentioned that he only had 47 yards in that contest. One parallel here, Ryan, and maybe I'm reading into this too much. It was a fairly cold game as well. And it's actually going to be colder this week than it was then. The high back on what date was that now? The 27th of November was 41 degrees around kickoff. And it got down into basically the mid 30s. So I'm not sure if that has anything to do with Braylon Allen, but, you know, we didn't see him have a lot of success then. And obviously the Gopher run defense was maybe a little bit better that 21 season. But curious to see if we can find any correlation of the cold and his ability to be effective. But in this game, you know, you're going to have to be able to have sudden changing plays. And hopefully if they're going to ride Braylon Allen, we can get another forced fumble on the season. And ultimately, you know, the one thing that does concern me is the Gophers have struggled against teams that can sit back and pick a zone apart. And ultimately, I don't know if Mordecai is going to be able to do that. You know, he hasn't been terribly successful, but the run pass element does have concerns for me against them. That said, I am going to pick the Gophers to win, Ryan. I'm going to have them pick 21-18.
21-18. That's a very Big Ten West score.
Thank you.
I would say I'm looking at the splits for Braylon Allen here month by month, and there might be a correlation. I'm looking at 2022, where in the month of September, he had a 6.8 yards per carry, October 4.9, and then last November, it was 4.3. Well, he missed some time here to start November this year, but I would say this. September, Braylon Allen, 7.1 yards per carry. October, 4.9 yards per carry. November, 2.6 yards per carry. Now, how much of that is the opponent? How much of it isn't? I don't know, but I would tell you the stats would indicate as the season's gone on, maybe as it's gotten colder, maybe as he's gotten more and more bumps and bruises on his body. I mean, sure. We'll see. I mean, I think it's a huge part of the game this weekend.
Yeah.
I would say special teams-wise, Wisconsin, I believe, according to Pro Football Focus, ranks as the seventh best special teams unit. Minnesota, still ranked dead last in the Big Ten, and they are 62nd out of 68 Power 5 teams in special teams play, according to Pro Football Focus. If you're looking for an angle here, the Badgers love to return kicks. No team in the Big Ten has returned more kickoffs than Wisconsin, and they've returned the third most punts. So something to keep an eye on this weekend. I would also say if it is going to go the way of Minnesota, Wisconsin's offense is the second best third down offense in the conference. They are converting at a 46.6% clip in Big Ten play. Minnesota's defense is the worst as they're allowing 45% of third downs to be converted against them. As we sit here, prior to Thanksgiving, it is difficult for me to give an accurate pick because we don't know Darius Taylor. We don't know Cody Lindenberg. We don't know Hunter Wohler. We don't know of any other obscure injuries that'll pop up. I wish I knew those answers. But it's senior day. It's for the axe. I mean, I've talked with the Gopher players today. They're obviously guys like Chris Ottmanville are going to be very emotional for this one. So I'm going to be optimistic here and say Minnesota gets either Darius Taylor or Cody Lindenberg back, and I just don't believe Hunter Wohler is going to play. The whole getting knocked out of the game and then being immediately ruled out, but I don't know. I don't get the sense that he's going to play. But to me, this game comes down to turnovers. I'll mention it one last time here. Minnesota has not forced a turnover in their last two games. Wisconsin's defense in their last three games has only forced one. Something has to give here. I'm going to say Minnesota's defensive line shows up. Minnesota gets one more turnover than Wisconsin, and that gives the Gophers the edge at home, 23-21. So
you got the over. We're going to break this. Winning. Yeah.
Yeah, we both got the Gophers winning. I got an over, you got an under. And so Minnesota goes to a bowl game or they qualify for one. But to me, I don't think, and I know there's going to be a lot of, I'm going to get the emails and tweets and whatever. Neither of these teams are really different than one another to me. They're banged up. They're both okay. And if I just think having this game at home, and I think Minnesota's defensive line comes to play here, those are the things that put them over the edge for me.
Ryan, I think we've talked again and again about how a no-brainer it is for somebody that's wanting to buy or sell their home. They should be working with Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group, because this is a way they don't even have to give money to the NIL program at Dinkytown Athletes. They just have to buy or sell their house and work with Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group.
So if you're sitting in the car or sitting at the airport talking with your significant other and saying, all right, it's time now to sell the house, or it's time now for us to buy a house, but we don't know who to go to. We don't have a realtor. Well, we have someone for you at TeamDinkytown.com. They've already sold a house for over $50,000 over asking in 72 hours, and 1% of that purchase price went directly to helping Dinkytown Athletes, a $4,000-plus donation to them, and that goes a long way. So if you're looking for a realtor and you want to go with a Gopher fan that you can trust, go to TeamDinkytown.com. Or call them today at 612-250-8562.
Ryan, it is the final week of regular season college football. We made it. It's our last preview. It's been fun to do. And let's preview these, you know, these last few games of the season. Any kind of parting words for the previews before we get into them?
I'm sad that this is the last Wednesday we get to record together until the bowl game. If seemingly the season goes by too fast, there's obviously a lot of emotions from week to week, and then we spend the next 9 months going over it. The next month is the one I hate the most in terms of me professionally.
I'm aware.
Because recruiting is, you got National Signing Day is a month away. The portal opens up. You've also trying to write about a bowl game. It's just, it's a dumpster fire in terms of just trying to wear so many different hats, but that's why you could just join Gopher Illustrated. You get to follow along for the ride. Should be pretty fun, but just a weird year. And I think in the Big Ten, in terms of, we thought Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State were going to be the three best teams, and turned out they were by a large margin to me.
All right.
Everybody else is just kind of 6-5, 5-6, and there's not really a big separator for everybody else.
Yeah, I do want to get this in, because I've actually been thinking about this a lot, Ryan. I want to get this in before, you know, the transfer portal opens and all the conversation becomes kind of NIL focused, transfer portal focused. And I've kind of come up with a summary of my thoughts on NIL. I want to put a disclaimer out there. I don't work with Dinkytown Athletes. I do know Derek Burns, and we do talk, obviously, because we do a podcast together. I'm not privy to any additional information. I don't think either are you. He's pretty tight-lipped on this stuff. So this is just my own observations about NIL in general. I want to get this out before it all goes amok here in a little bit. But here's my summary. You ready? I have not told you this, so you can you can feel free to react or not react as you wish, Mr. Burns. You ready?
I'm a little scared, but I'll give you my thoughts anyway.
All right. So here's point number one. I've got 3 points like any good presentation is going to have. Number one, most, if not all, people are glad that athletes can earn money via name, image, and likeness. It's point number one. Point number two, almost every single fan base thinks that NIL will have a negative impact on their team or teams. And number three is everybody wants someone else to pay for their team's NIL support. And I think that's universally true across the country. Not here. We are obviously focused on it here, but those are my three observations. Take it as you wish. But I want to make sure I got that out before we entered into the crazy transfer portal and this whole new NIL era.
My only rebuttal is I got about 4,000 words coming up by the time people probably listen to this on Thanksgiving about PJ Fleck, where they go from here, why, in my opinion, and you can disagree after you read my piece, but why he should not be fired, because I think people who think that right now are insane, because I detailed the struggles of this job. But to the NIL point that you bring up, everybody, if I have to get one more email or a tweet or a message from someone saying, well, Ryan, why don't they just go to the 15 Fortune 500 companies?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know.
I'm going to punt them to the moon, because this is what I want you to understand and why I get frustrated with it, listeners. There is only one Fortune 500 company that I know of that helps out their local university, and it's Oregon and Phil Knight and Nike.
And it's not even really Nike. It's just Phil Knight, who is the beneficiary of Nike, right? Like, it's not there. It's not like Nike actually is providing the money. But yes, I get your point. That's actually a really good point.
I'm just so tired of people expecting these whales. I don't know where these whales are, but every fan base is looking for them and saying, well, they should be the ones.
Yeah.
I lay out in the piece that it's very tangible for this to work here. You know how it works here? Hypothetically, you got a season ticket base of Gopher football season ticket holders of 25,000. Okay. Well, let's assume just half of them, that's 12,500 of them, give $10 a month.
Yeah.
That's less than a Netflix subscription. Okay. $10 per month. Do you know what that adds up to gross revenue wise for football, for Dinkytown athletes, for PJ Fleck? $1.5 million for 10 bucks a month if just half the season ticket base does it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and that's an incredibly simplistic and feasible thing for everybody to do, but I just...
I know that we're supposed to be previewing the games, and I just wanted to get that out, and now we've gone on a tangent, but I want to run with this tangent a little bit more. I've been thinking about this quite a bit, Ryan. This is how sports have changed pretty drastically recently. Okay. If you wanted to be active and involved, pre NIL, how did you do that, Ryan? Can you answer that? What?
Illegally?
Well, so there's illegally, or you had to be a season ticket holder, right?
Sure.
You had to contribute to the university in some sort of donation, right? And usually you're not making, I mean, you can make a pretty small donation if you want, but usually you're thinking about the people that are making, you know, four and five and even six or maybe even seven figure donations, right? But that's really the only way. You had to be a season ticket holder, which assumes, right, that you have to be within reasonable proximity to be able to go to those games and to justify them, right? To justify like paying that and getting the ROI on going. Well, now you can actually be involved without doing any of those things. You can be an NIL supporter. You can be a part of Dinkytown Athletes for a very modest amount of money, get access to some like events, you know, if you're here locally and close. You also have access to like their Discord server and, you know, content, etc. And I don't mean this from an advertisement for them, but like that's a way that you can be involved at a much lower price point and actually contribute and get something back in terms of, you know, content and knowing that these athletes are getting compensated for the work that they're doing. Cause I do believe that it's work. I think that they should be getting a salary. That's a totally different conversation. And a lot of people are going to disagree with that, but it's one way that you can contribute and be in the game where maybe it wasn't really feasible for you to previously.
I just feel like it's a whole different podcast that we can go down, but
oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get my NIL thing out there before it got too crazy, and we can go back and I've got receipts. So that's why I wanted to get it recorded.
There you go.
I wanted the receipts that this has been my theory. It's based on, you know, a year of kind of looking at stuff, but I'm sick like you of the people saying that someone else needs to pay for their team's NIL support. That's just not going to happen. It's incumbent on the fans. So, okay, let's get into the Big Ten preview. We have some Black Friday games to compete with the NFL. Well, they're not actually going to compete directly, but first, number 17 Iowa is at Nebraska. Nebraska is looking to get bowl eligible. Much like the Gophers, they have struggled their last three games to find bowl eligibility, losing the last three. This game will be on CBS at 11 a.m. on Friday. The over-under opened, well, this is interesting. It opened at 26.5. Looks like it's up to 27.5 on the over-under, and Nebraska is favored by one.
We're seeing some different lines. I got Nebraska by 2.5, but the point being, Iowa's the 17th ranked team in the country at 9-2. Nebraska is 5-6, and Nebraska is a 2.5-point favorite, even though they've lost 3 straight games.
Yep.
And Iowa's won 3 straight games. I mean, just
I think if Nebraska can just not turn the ball over, they definitely can win this game.
It's the story of their November, though. It's just self-inflicted wounds are why they are where they are, just like so many of these other Big Ten West teams. Obviously, Iowa's without Cooper DeJean for the rest of the season. They're banged up. Nebraska has historically found success recently against Iowa. Now, it was a different staff, but I think at 11 a.m. on Black Friday, I'll know that I'm going to be turning into CBS to see what this thing looks like. It could be the lowest over-under in modern history because I'm seeing that thing at 26.5 right now.
Interesting. I'm using BetESPN or ESPN Bet. You're probably using something different. I'm getting a little confused. ESPN used to use Caesars. Now they use, obviously, ESPN Bet. So maybe I shouldn't be using this, but I'm going to go with that for the remainder of this episode. Next is going to feature the Penn State Nittany Lions at Michigan State here. And so this is
at Ford Field.
Oh, is it at Ford Field? Oh, you're right. It is. Yeah, it is at Ford Field. Okay, and this is a 6:30 kick on NBC. Michigan State is a 20-point dog in this one. Penn State is favored by 20. The over-under is 41.5.
It's really kind of what are they playing for? You have Penn State, who knows they're not going to be in the Big Ten title game. I guess they're playing for their 10th win. Michigan State looks like they're getting closer to finding out who their head coach is going to be. I would imagine by the time the end of Sunday, we'll know who that is. But they can't get to bowl eligibility with a win. It's a weird spot for both teams. As Michigan State just wants to pull the plug on the season, Penn State is going to finish 10-2 with probably 10 more wins, all 10 wins being of 9 points or more again. Yet that fan base is so fed up with James Franklin. So interesting spot kind of for both games.
All right. Next is obviously the game, as they call it. This is going to be an 11 a.m. kick on Fox. It's going to
feature. You know what the get-in price is?
It was like $450 or $435 or something. I saw it recently.
$400 range, yeah. Just to get in the building.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. This is going to be played in Ann Arbor at Michigan Stadium. It's going to feature number 3 Michigan 11-0-8-0 against number 2 Ohio State 11-0-8-0 as well. This is going to be on Fox. The over under for this is 46.5. The line opened at -3 for Michigan and has been bet to a -5.5, Ryan.
America's team, Luke Buehr. What do you mean?
So
I'm just so ready for Michigan's season to be over. I'm so over them against the world when it's all self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
And they're firing their linebackers coach like the day before the game last week.
Yeah.
Because he's destroying evidence. Like, I'm so over it.
Yeah. I'm over it too. I think it is probably a better matchup than people probably think. I think I'm really interested to see Michigan go up against Ohio State's defense. This is by far the best offense that Ohio State's defense is going to see. But I think people are underrating Ohio State's defense and how good they are.
Well, I know from talking with some people in Columbus and their media sector, they were talking about how Kyle McCord's numbers are very similar to J.J. McCarthy's.
Yes.
J.J. McCarthy gets all the hub, but Kyle McCord doesn't. Well, I think it's going to come down to those two quarterbacks, obviously, when you're facing two great defenses. And when the spread is as close as it is, I mean, winner gets to go to the college football playoff. The other one's going to have to be on the bubble.
Yeah.
So I said before the season, I thought Michigan would win the college football playoff, which now is the bane of my existence because I can't stand that team. But Mike Grimm took the other side of it. He thought Ohio State was going to go and be the Big Ten champion. So we got Mike Grimm's Ohio State versus my Michigan, if you're looking for something with little betting odds on the line this weekend.
You know, what's also interesting is I think of the teams that we've seen, I think Ohio State has the best front 7 defensively that we saw. And I think that Michigan has the best offensive line, and that's something I'm really interested to see who can get the better of the two there. And we know that, you know, Michigan's been able to run the ball basically on almost anyone. So I'm really curious to see that matchup as well. Okay, Another game on BTN, a 2:30 kick, will feature the Illinois Fighting Illini, who will be looking to win to go to another bowl game this year. They're 5-6, 3-5 in conference, against the bowl eligible Northwestern Wildcats, who are 6-5, 4-4 in conference. This game will be played, obviously, at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. Northwestern has not been good on the road this year. You caught them in Ryan Field, the last season of Ryan Field, as we know it. You know, you didn't fare very well. The Gophers learned that out the hard way. This is a 47.5 over under, with Illinois favored by 4.5.
Their home road splits are what I'm going to remember about Northwestern, other than David Braun.
Yeah, for sure.
He should be Big Ten Coach of the Year.
No question. If he's not,
I know that Ryan Day, and I know that Jim Harbaugh and America's team there.
No way Harbaugh
rallying
wins.
Around themselves.
No,
but what?
No way.
Yeah, but what David Braun has done there has been remarkable. I'm excited for him to be able to kind of get his own era going there. I'm curious to see how many staff members he lets go in the next week to kind of cleanse himself of Fitzgerald's staff and everything they knew there with the scandal, or hypothetically didn't know, which missed me with the staff didn't know part of that. Well, that's a whole.
Well, hold on. Let's sit on that for just 1 second. So, like, we're going to learn whether or not time can really heal all wounds, Ryan, because I think everyone would have assumed at the beginning of the season the entire staff is going to have to go, in the very slight chance that Braun was going to get hired. Now, he did. So is that going to play out, and he's going to have to hire an entirely new staff?
He should have to hire them regardless, to me. Again, as someone... Now, maybe this is from a point of privilege in saying I played college football, and you can't tell me that a coaching staff doesn't know what's going on in the locker room, especially for decades.
Yeah.
Especially if they've been there a long time. You can't tell me that they don't. And if you think they're a part of the whole Fitzgerald mess and they were there with him for a long time, they may be great coaches, they may be good people, but they knew what was going on and they should be purged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Should be an interesting game as well, and see if Bielema can and that staff can get Illinois to another bowl game. They looked like their season was on life support, and yet they've kind of found a way to battle back, even with the loss last week. Okay, and then the last game, another 2:30 kick.
How dare you forget about Indiana Purdue, by the way?
Oh, did I skip that one?
Now, to be fair, it's a pair of 3-8 teams. The only thing on the line is, I think is it the Oaken Bucket?
It's the Oaken Bucket, I believe, yeah.
Which, does Hudson Card play? Does their best defensive player play? Does Tom Allen keep his job after the season? I have no idea. Just wanted to say Purdue's a 3.5-point home favorite there, so it's essentially a pick 'em. But we'll see what happens at 11 a.m. on BTN, which leads us into your favorite two teams, Mike Locksley versus Kirk Shiraka and Joe Harris Simiak.
Absolutely. This one opened at 45.5 over under, and it stayed there. And Maryland is favored by 2. They're now favored by 1. It is a pick 'em, Ryan.
I mean, can Rutgers find anything of resembling momentum going into bowl season? Because they've had a murderer's row of November of Ohio State, Penn State, and Iowa. Good thing they got to bowl eligibility when they did.
But Maryland, outside of the one win against Nebraska, they've lost 4 of their last 5, so neither team is on a run.
5 of their last 6, if you really want to.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And that's where, I don't know, I won't be watching any of Maryland Rutgers. Peace and love to those fans. Same thing with Northwestern Illinois. They're obviously on the same time as this Minnesota-Wisconsin game. But, I mean, it will be interesting, because if Northwestern can pull it off there, Minnesota's obviously has another opportunity to get to a bowl, because Illinois wouldn't. They'd be 5-7. So just some of the storylines I'll be looking for here as we finish off the Big Ten season.
All right. Once again, want to thank all of you for joining us. That if you listen to all of our previews, thank you. If you stuck around to the end as we signed off each time, thank you even more. We had a really fun season previewing the games. We're hopeful that we'll get to preview a bowl game. We will be around in the offseason covering a multitude of different things, with a lot of things changing, both from a roster perspective, but also from the conference alignment and everything. It's going to be a fun offseason as well. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.